Hi, I'm Forrest Griffin.
Brian Caraway.
And Misha Tate.
What's up, guys? This is Joseph Benavidez, UFC flyweight.
Hi, this is Greg Jackson, and you're listening to It's MMA Zing, and that is an amazing pun.
Get it? Like MMA, but amazing? Amazing.
Radio.
Welcome to It's Amazing Radio. I am your host, Dr. Law, and joining me this week, the legend himself, Lavender Gooms.
Hey, Bobby, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing okay. Can't really complain. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. And, you know, we have an excellent selection of days today. I'm not going to lie. This is a murderer's row of national days. So, get you guys all warm and fuzzy for March 19th when you guys actually listen to this. So I wish you, Bobby, a happy National Biodiesel Day. Very important. A happy National Sloppy Joe Day. Right? Right? Come on,
that's
now.
That's today.
That is today, March 18th.
Okay.
Happy National Lacy Oatmeal Day. If you're trying to get a little sexy and healthy at the same time.
So does Lacy Oatmeal Cookie.
Yeah, Lacy Oatmeal. You know, wearing a little underwear.
No, you said Lacy
Oatmeal.
See through it. I think it's
Lacy Oatmeal.
I think it's Lacy Oatmeal Cookie.
Yeah, you know, like Lacy Underwear. You know, Lacy Oatmeal. No?
Okay, we're not talking about the same thing. Never mind. Go ahead.
I read that entirely different from how you read it.
I mean, I would also point out that it's National Awkward Moments Day, because that really pays off with what we just have right here on this podcast.
Yeah. Speaking of awkward moments, I always remember the time that I gave up my seat to a pregnant lady, then asked her when she's due, and she said, "I'm not pregnant."
That's what you get for being nice. Mind your, I thought you're from a city where the whole mantra is basically mind your fucking business. They literally had to have a campaign put out to say, if you see something, say something. Because you motherfuckers just bury your head in the sands about everything. But not you, huh, Mike?
And I'll tell you what, Bobby, since that day, I do what everyone else does. I pretend I'm asleep.
That's a good move.
And I'm sure this is not what they meant, but much like how I did that day for that not pregnant lady, I wish you all a happy National Supreme Sacrifice Day.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's an interesting way of putting.
Let's go back and wish everyone a happy National Awkward Moments Day.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That was great too. And also, on a more personal note, a happy birthday to my brother Alfredo. And my brother from another mother, Peterson.
Right on.
Neither of them listen to this podcast, so this means nothing.
I would like to say, since throw it in there, because tomorrow, at least for me, and, you know, however many million of us there are, Persians out there, celebrating New Year. It is always Persian New Year, always falls on the moment of the vernal equinox, which is a fancy way of saying, spring, start of spring.
Which is at 8:06 for you.
8:06 p.m. Pacific time for me, 11:06 p.m. for you, East Coast. I think like 7 in the morning. It's either 7 or 7:30 in the morning, depending on where we are in the year in Iran. 6:30 in the morning. I apologize. 6 in the morning on Wednesday for them. Want to wish everybody a happy new year. Eid Hamatun Mubarak. Solano Mubarak. Hope you all have a great year. Hopefully we all do, quite frankly, not just the Persians.
Could not have said it better myself.
Yeah. No DJ Mark this week. He'll be back, we think, next week. And we'll leave it at that. And can't come back soon enough. Because at some point, these warehouse fights stop, and we got to talk about real fights, Mike, at a certain point. It's not that point this week, though, folks, because there was another weekend of warehouse fights, and I didn't watch any of that shit. Did not watch a thing. Apparently, our boy Ty got his arm stuck in an armbar or something. I don't know. Armbar submission, or was it a guillotine? Not guillotine. It was either armbar or your naked choke. Long story short, tapped out, lost, loses again. Big win for Marcin Tybura, who showed up with half a haircut. That's my understanding. Half a haircut.
You know, it's a shame. I think we're all fans of Ty Tuivasa on this podcast. Unserious analysis coming down the pipe, but you know, he's a man like Samson with his hair. You know, he draws something from a crowd. I gotta assume if this was in front of more than just 12 people, he may have not got caught in that armbar.
Yeah, you would hope. Big win for OSP, though. I saw I know this because I threw a quick parlay together of Ty Tuivasa, the guy OSP beat, whose name I already forgot, but was a minus 700 favorite, and then two people who were minus 200 favorites. When your parlay falls apart because of a minus 700 favorite, Mike, that just means you got to just rethink your entire like strategy to sports betting. That was Kennedy and Zajukwu. Saw Brian Battle poke some guy in the eye, Ange Lusa, and then call him a pussy afterwards because the guy couldn't keep fighting. And then Michael Bisping was on the microphone, got on the hot mic saying that, oh, he wanted a way out, which, oof. Good look for everybody, guys. Just a way to, this is me clapping for these people.
Also, also the fighters that wanted smoke after the bell already finished.
What?
Didn't you see the videos of that?
Oh, yeah, they were just yelling at each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian Battle should just not poke people in the eye, because he definitely did that. We saw it happen. What you want me to fucking tell you, buddy? Shouldn't have poked him in the eye. All right, let's just talk about the biggest thing that's happening, quite frankly, in this sport, is something we talked about a month ago. It's nice to see everybody else getting on board with this law, with this belief, because I understand, Mike, that Conor McGregor is a hard time getting any sort of sympathy or public support. And we live in this world where a lot of these MMA fans are new. So, you know, when you're a new MMA fan, you love fucking Dana White, or at least you think you do, because you know, you don't hear like other sports commissioners talk like them, and he talks about he wants to get the fans the fights, yada, yada, yada. Conor McGregor is getting iced out by the UFC. We talked about it about a month ago. You wonder why this fight hasn't been booked. It's because Conor McGregor does not want to sign a contract extension with the UFC. The UFC wants to go to television rights negotiations, being able to promise their new partner that you're going to get a certain number of fights, or not television rights, sorry, media rights. You're going to get a certain number of Conor McGregor fights on pay-per-view. Yeah, so Conor McGregor's got two fights left on his contract. Conor McGregor, say what you will about him, not an idiot, has made more money from this sport than anybody else ever has, easily. Probably sees what's out there, and what he could make, not fighting in the UFC, and fighting, you know, I don't know, man, Nate Diaz made $15 million fighting Jake Paul. How much do you think Conor McGregor makes fighting that fight, you know? So, Conor McGregor, not an idiot. I'm sure there is a number where Conor McGregor would stay. It's probably not the number the UFC is thinking. So you know it's bad when Nate Diaz is out here calling for... First, let me give you what Conor said. I was hoping for a December date, and then a January date, and then it keeps getting pushed back. Then they lose interest and stop training for a while. Not stop training. I'm always training. But stop full training. Start drinking a little bit. So I'm going to go back, regroup, get full tested, get ready to rock. The date's going to come, and then I'll be ready to rock. That was Conor McGregor. Sounding hopeful, but possibly wishful thinking. Nate Diaz said it yesterday. This was me for years before Conor even got here. They want you to die before you get out of these contracts. It's up to you to make something pop. No one gonna help you but you. Free Conor. It's St. Paddy's Day in this bitch. Nate Diaz, poet. Francis said the same thing today, basically saying, hey man, I was fighting one time a year for a couple of years there because of this. Because they have to offer him some fights. So, Mike, takes a real special effort to make Conor McGregor a sympathetic figure.
Yeah, especially considering that this past weekend, I shared with you a video at the Roadhouse premiere where that man was clearly on Jupiter with just how much cocaine he had done.
Could have been a lot of Red Bull. We don't want
to... It was definitely not, all right? Okay. I've been around enough people high on cocaine to know... That motherfucker's on cocaine.
Yeah. Hey, man, he's having a good time. There's no fight booked. What do you want him to do?
That is true.
He's got hundreds of millions of dollars, and he's having a good time.
Yeah, they'll fight book, super rich. Why not just get on? You know, partake of the booger sugar. You know,
hey, he's not on a crime spree. He's just having a good time.
But you are correct. It takes a lot to make Conor McGregor, especially with everything and he's been through the last few years and every transgression, to make him the sympathetic figure here. It just feels so dirty and wrong that the UFC could do something like this, where they can just stretch out an agreement this far, where something, considering people can fight within, like, you know what, once every 4 months, 5 months, it's now going on, what, almost 2 years at least that Conor McGregor's fought, and he's probably been cleared, well, maybe for a year now, maybe a year and a half, whenever he finally stopped doing massive amounts of steroids to heal his leg. This just doesn't seem right. Oh, you're muted, Bobby.
You're mentioning the UFC's power here. So, Fundora and Suyo, I can't say this guy's name right. T-S-Y-Z-U. It's a boxer. I guess that guy got hurt, so the Fundora fight can't happen. So Dan Rayfield, who's one of the few boxing journalists anybody knows, said, those of you suggesting that Terrence Crawford step in to fight... Sorry, Fundora's hurt. Stepping in to face Suyo on 12 days notice, please, 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 I beg you to think for 10 seconds before you pose such a utterly laughable scenario. Zero chance for a billion reasons. Terrence Crawford's a top 2-3 pound for pound fighter, right? Number one, I think. The idea of him fighting somebody on 12 days notice? Utterly ridiculous in boxing. When was the last time we saw this happen in MMA?
Probably like a month ago.
I was going to say, when did Alexander Volkanovski step in to fight fucking a guy he'd already lost to on five fucking weeks notice? And chimed in, by the way, by another boxing journalist, Mark Ortega, who I remember from when we were kids. He's friends with my little brother. Nice guy. Watched Royal Rumble 2000 at his house. His mom did not know we were ordering, and all of a sudden the bikini contest started and things got wild. And he said, they're probably UFC fans and have seen legendary fighters step in on extremely short notice for big fights. They don't understand that UFC fighters do this because they make pennies compared to boxers and they get paid lots more for saving cards. Should ask Conor if he wants to go to fight Jose Aldo in Brazil is what they should do. Everybody gets paid.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, what are you going to do? Every week we come out here and talk about how these people are running a scumbag organization. And it's not like the previous people weren't scumbags, but at least I feel I was watching better fights, for what it's worth. I feel I was having a better time. The athletes are so much better in this sport now, man, that like we could really be doing something if we had like back when it was like 28, 30 cards, even like 35 cards. These things would all be fucking loaded. If you think about it.
They would be, but we're not at 28 to 30 cards.
I think we're at 45 a year, right?
At this point.
Are we at 45? Are there 7 weeks where there's no cards?
I think 7 is about right.
That is so much.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
That is so much. Speaking of Jose Aldo, let's talk about UFC 301, Mike. So UFC 301, the card where they were going to do Poatan versus Jamahal Hill. And instead, they got Jamahal Hill and his janky leg to fight 4 weeks earlier in just to main event UFC 300. Because reasons. Let's just go with that. Because I'm not sure why they needed to do that. So now UFC 300. Then I think they were hoping possibly. Well, we got Pantoja. Pantoja can main up. It can be on this card. We can do Pantoja. And Moreno will take care of Royval. You know, that's fine. We can do Pantoja versus Moreno again. Well, Moreno didn't win. And they're like, all right. Well, you know, maybe we can do like Brandon Royval versus Pantoja. We can't do that. They just fought. We can't do that fight again. Who else can fight? What number is Steve Ersig ranked? 10? Fuck it. All right. Pantoja versus Steve Ersig. I come to you, Mike, as someone who loves Steve Ersig. Think Steve Ersig's an excellent fighter. If Mark was here, he'd be singing the praises of Steve Ersig. Some of the best boxing in MMA. Nobody knows who Steve Ersig is. But that's the main event right now.
I'll tell you this right now. I had no idea who Steve Ersig is.
Yeah. I'm sure they were hoping Jolton Almeida was going to beat Curtis Blaydes, so maybe they can get Tom Aspinall, who's begging to fight somebody. Tom Aspinall went up to John Jones at some random event this week. They met each other in person. Tom Aspinall, the nicest way, being like, I would like the pleasure of fighting you someday. And John's like, sure, someday. Anyway. Steve Ercegue and Alexander Pantoja are going to main event a pay-per-view. And Jose Aldo's coming out of retirement to fight Jonathan Martinez, a guy who's on like a 6-fight win streak. I'm going to tell you this right now. There's nobody making more money than Jose Aldo on that card.
I would hope not.
Yeah.
I don't care Jose what Aldo, is making. Jose Aldo is the biggest star on that card by a country mile. They better be throwing him a fat sack to come out of retirement for this fight.
And by the way, this isn't us just shitting on Pantoja or the flyweights. I think if any group of people have talked about how much they enjoy these flyweight fights, it's us. All right? We love it. It's like throwing two fucking cats in a bag and they just fucking tussle for 25 minutes. And let me tell you right now, I'm picking this fight to go to decision. I don't care how many times Steve Ercegue has knocked fools out. Like, he just killed Matt Schnell back in March. Don't care. Decision. All right? This fight's going to decision. Right now, this card. Pantoja versus Steve Ercegue. Jose Aldo versus Jonathan Martinez. Michelle Pereira, who fought on the early prelims.
Like 2 weeks ago.
On the early prelims of UFC 299. Is taking on some guy named Mahmoud Muradov, who is somehow got like 6 UFC fights. Okay? Don't know who he is.
But you know why he's able to fight this quickly, right?
Because he murked that guy.
On the early prelims. Ah, that's all the difference in the world right there.
Anthony Smith versus Vitor Petrino, who doesn't have a Wikipedia page. Joe Anderson Brito versus Jack Shore. No Wikipedia page for Brito. Paul Craig versus Caio Borralho is actually a pretty entertaining fight. Never have to pay money for that. And then Carolina Kowalkiewicz versus Yasmin Lucindo. Carolina's still fighting, apparently. Thought she retired. This card's terrible.
I think she won her last fight, actually.
I think she won her last 4 fights, actually.
Holy shit.
Yeah, they booked her. That was one of those ones where they booked her and Diana Belbita, and I said, well, they're doing this for the internet. That matchup. There was a stretch where the UFC was just like, what combination of our attractive female fighters can we put on these cards to draw attention from people? This was during that stretch. As Mike Googles. Yeah, not at all. Okay. Yeah, this is not off to a good start, buddy. I know it's in... Okay, actually, it's not that far away. It's in May. It's May 4th. So what do we got? 6 weeks?
It's like 2 months away.
We got 6 weeks?
Yeah.
I mean, they got to get on this. This is not good. This is bad. They might as well call Anderson, honestly. Call Anderson. You might as well. Call Anderson. See if he'll fight somebody.
I feel that's a little far. At least Jose fought in like, what, in the last year, year and a half?
Do you want me to read the names again of who's on this card, Mike? Do you want me to read the names to you?
No, not necessary. I'm aware of how not great it is.
Dude, yeah, Jose's retirement was nice. He was crying in the cage, all that shit. I mean, okay.
Well, you know, he probably cried again when they showed him just how much his check is going to be for this fight.
I mean, do you think he's making more in this fight or than when he fought Jeremy Stephens in Game Bread Boxing? I'm not being funny. I feel the numbers are close. Just putting that out
good
there.
Point.
All right. Also happening news-wise, we got ourselves... Bellator's got a new TV deal. With allegedly a new player. So Mike and I are going to bet $1 American against each other.
Okay.
Again, and make your guess about who is the new player. Because my guess is Max. You know, that's my guess.
All right. But as in like, is going to be streaming on Max?
You mean if it's TNT, do I lose or not? Is basically what we're going with?
Because my guess before the podcast was that it was going to be on either TBS or TNT. But if it's going to be like where you say, oh, it's on Max, but
I'm just kind of assuming
the streaming is going to be on Max, but it's going to be on TNT or TBS.
I mean, if you want to take them, you can. I'll take Twitch. If you want to go with just Time Warner Discovery, you can. I just don't think. I think one went so badly that they're not going to put them on network TV, on the cable TV.
I think the big difference is that Bellator is, I mean, not to say that one isn't established, but Bellator is more of a name brand here in the United States, at least in comparison to one.
I mean, when are they going to put these on? On Wednesday nights after AEW? Is that the plan again? Are we going to put this on Fridays after Rampage? Like, what are we going to put these fucking things on? Like,
I guess that is a good point.
I think it's streaming, but whatever this is. That's my guess, to be honest. I don't think Bellator is going to get on network fucking television or cable television. That's why I said Max or Twitch. You make whichever pick you want. I'll pick second, though.
I think it's still going to be network TV, just because while the UFC, I think, could go more to like just a purely streaming thing, I think the powers that be at Bellator and ONE FC, they're slightly more behind, where they're like, we need the prestige to say that we've been on network TV.
So you're specifically picking TNT TBS or what?
I think TNT TBS.
All right. I think you should have picked Max, but I won't pick Max because it's the same company. So I'll go with Twitch.
Okay.
All right. Or apparently there's something called Kick that Mike learned and I learned about today, because we're old as dirt. That apparently is a player as well. What if it's just YouTube? That'd be so sick. Just whoever wants to be the one to just do YouTube, whoever wants to do YouTube as their fucking, like, as Google as their streaming partner, I am 100% on board. Right? The one time I bought a Bellator pay-per-view and I bought it on YouTube, it was the most, like, easy fucking streaming time of my life, Mike. Not a single thing went wrong there. Not a single fucking thing. I forgot if there was more news or not. I saw Sean Strickland says he's a threat to other people or something. Which, if you watch him fight, there's no indication of that. Peter Yan, man, tore his shit. ACL and meniscus. So that's what? A year?
Yeah, that's crazy. And tore it during the fight.
Paddy Pimblett eyes summer return versus Hinata Moikano. Paddy Pimblett should not call out Hinata Moikano. Paddy Pimblett should not call out. Let me tell you this, as someone who's excited that because Moikano wants money, good for him, Mike. It's not the fight you should call out. Fighter you should call out. And
but here's the thing. If you call him out knowing that you're not going to get that fight, then you look like a tough guy for doing it.
Yeah. I mean, he's asked for it now. Did you see that Mark Coleman story?
Yeah, man. That was crazy.
People missed it. Mark Coleman, I guess he was in the house and his dog Hammer woke him up because there was a fire. And then Mark carried his parents out of the house, who Mark's not young, so his parents are a bit older too. And then Mark tried to go back in and get Hammer. Couldn't get Hammer. Then Mark was in the hospital from smoke, basically inhalation. And then he got out of, and then it was not looking good. And then he got out of the hospital. He went back in the same day for pneumonia. Now I think he's out again because he still kind of trains Matt Brown and them. So I say we all love the Hammer, and he's a fucking hero. And rest in peace to Little Hammer, man, because that dog saved some lives.
Oh, the dog died?
Yeah, the dog died. Do you see the video of Mark waking up in the hospital with his daughters? It was, it's nice that he's okay. And yeah, we don't deserve dogs, man. We do not deserve dogs. All right. Now, Mike came up with a top five list idea. I want to note that it's only 24 minutes into the podcast, and we're already at top
Whoa.
Five list.
Although, are we actually going to finish by like 50, 55 minutes?
That is a failure in my eyes of a podcast that's supposed to be an hour in length. Okay? I'm waiting for someone to do something stupid in this sport. Okay. Are we doing top five list?
Let's do it, man. So, I will
you administer
introduce
this.
The category, and then I'll, you can start it off the list. The main event this week in UFC, I think it's on ESPN 53, Amanda Ribas versus Rose Namajunas. And because I thought of this category 5 minutes before the podcast, I thought, oh, you know, Rose is fighting. Rose, that's a type of plant. Ooh, let's do top five plants. So that is why we are doing this list today.
Either fictional or real.
Either fictional or real plants. And you can pick whatever plant you want and for whatever reason.
All right. We're playing real fast and loose with the definition of plant when we go fictional anyway. I'm going to go with Petey Piranha.
Petey Piranha. What the hell is Petey Piranha?
It's Big Piranha from Mario Sunshine.
Ah, very nice. Very nice. In that same vein, I actually have the Piranha plant from Super Mario as one of my top five plants. I mean, you can't go wrong with.
Okay, we pretty much just both said the same. Pipe. We both said the same fucking thing, basically.
All right. I can think of a different plant then. So my first plant I will go with then is the white oleander.
The fuck's the white oleander?
I don't exactly know, but I know it's a plant. It's a flower, and it was a very good movie by Michelle Pfeiffer.
This was your idea.
This is gold I'm giving you, okay?
This was your idea.
If you haven't watched White Oleander, you should watch White Oleander. That movie is fucked up.
What's it about?
What's your second plan?
What's White Oleander about?
It's basically about a daughter and her very fucked up mom, played by Michelle Pfeiffer.
I don't know if this counts, but whatever. I got Poison Ivy.
The supervillain or the plant?
The supervillain.
Ah, nice. And I'm assuming she shot up on your list of favorite plants because of Harley Quinn.
Not necessarily. You know, mostly because, you know, I was like 11 or 12 when Batman and Robin came out and that movie was terrible. But I was like, what up? What up, Poison Ivy?
Ah, yeah.
Let's just not lie to ourselves. Poison Ivy, a.k.a. Pamela Isley, voiced, as Mike put it, referring to the Harley Quinn cartoon, voiced by Lake Bell in the Harley Quinn cartoon. Honestly fucking excellent in that cartoon. That could come back sooner. I'd appreciate it. Just saying. Played by Uma Thurman in Batman and Robin, which was not good. Just at all. They did make her in the Gotham TV show, but they did some real scumbag shit where, like, it was like a little girl playing her, and then she got, like, the fucking Poison Ivy thing in her veins, and all of a sudden she became, like, a 25-year-old smoke show or some shit like that.
I remember that.
That was real scumbag shit going on right there, buddy. That was some real scumbag shit. I don't remember who voiced her in the cartoon when we were kids. But she had a bunch of good shit.
I don't remember it being anyone super famous in the cartoons.
That was her first appearance?
No, was it? In the animated series?
I think in the cartoon. I don't know. Is that where she came to be?
I know Harley Quinn was a creation from the animated 66. Series.
Yeah, 66. Yeah. Never mind. Yeah, Harley Quinn is entirely... Dude, Batman animated series rules, for no reason alone, that creating that character. But then again, we had a whole bracket talking about how great that fucking show was. I was watching it the other day. Great show. But yeah, Poison Ivy. So far, I've gone with a video game monster and a woman that's part plant.
And I've been the only one to go with a real plant, White Oleander. Only thing I know about it is that it's white and there was a movie based off of it. Mm. Second flower, sticking in the realm of real plants as well. The corpse flower. Now, I don't exactly know what this plant is, but I did some Googling because I'm like, oh, let me see what some weird flowers or plants are. The corpse flower, not to be confused with the carrion plant, it's a plant that reeks of rotten bodies upon blooming. It can take 5 to 10 years to bloom for the first time. It may take another 2 to 10 years to bloom again. So smelling one is a rare experience. You know, unless you kill people for a living, then you smell rotting corpses all the time. The corpse flower. What's your third one, Bobby?
Pomegranate plant.
Is that literally like
I'm fucking Iranian. We love pomegranate. We live for this shit. We had one in our house when I was a kid, and when we moved, I kept arguing that we need to take the pomegranate plant with us. Nobody was listening to me, but then apparently we also couldn't because they specifically liked that we had pomegranate like tree basically in the backyard. So that is my third one.
Okay. Third one for me, it's going to be the ghost plant. Gets its name from its unusual coloring. It's all white, completely lacks chlorophyll, and doesn't need photosynthesis due to symbiotic relationship with fungi, which it gets its nutrients through parasitism. Why? I'm messing up with words today. Because of that, it can actually also glow in the dark.
I got Groot.
Like from that's
what,
not bad.
What do you mean? From what? What are the other options? I just said Groot. I got Groot. It's a big tree. It. Let me tell you, Mike. I think I told you this. I didn't know shit about Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm not sure how much you knew, to be honest.
Pretty much nothing.
Okay. Because I remember like they put the trailer out. And I think I sent it to you. And I think in all caps, I just wrote, raccoon riding a tree monster shooting a gun. That was all I said to you in all caps. Okay. That was when I decided I'm seeing this fucking movie. I'm like, oh, that's what I'm in. Yeah, Groot. Excellent.
Specifically, my favorite version of Groot, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 Groot, Baby Groot.
I like Teenage Groot too. He's a real prick. Just a real prick.
Where my man just comes back with a thumb.
Guy did good work with those movies, man. James Gunn did good work. Yeah, Groot. That was my fourth one, I think.
All right, it was. My fourth one is Yggdrasil, the Norse tree of life. Incapacitating all nine worlds that are part of the ancient Norse view of the cosmos. It is an ash tree in which all of the worlds, including the world of humans and the world of gods, nestle among the branches and roots. So if you ever want to hang out with your homie Thor, you got to find them on Yggdrasil.
This is the one I had in my back pocket if I couldn't come up with something better. I'll go fucking Swamp Thing.
Okay.
I'm not sure if he's in a plant. Or is he like a virus?
He's an amalgamation of plants, no?
Is he?
Yeah.
I know this is my thing, but I'm starting to question. Like,
he's the Swamp Thing. Okay. Like, he's literally made out of vines.
Okay.
Yeah. And my last top five plant, as I could not say piranha plant from Mario, and this is what I really stretched, top five plants, Springfield Nuclear Power Plant.
That was so bad, my dog just came in shaking her head. I thought you were going to say like the fire plant from Mario.
Oh, the fire flower?
Fire flower. You're like, I could have done that. That would have worked.
I didn't even think about that, but yeah, like, man, you know, nuclear power plant has kept Homer employed for God knows about 35 years.
Do it for her.
Yeah, you got to do it for her. Yeah. Outside looking in plant, weed.
I was going to say, someone was going to say weed. You could also go pea shooters from Plants vs. Zombies. It's one of the early weapons you get in that game. You've ever playing Plants vs. Zombies back in the day? You know, that was useful. Just saying. Took 10 minutes. Just a miracle it took that long, Mike. This stupid ass idea you came up with. This is Jesus Christ. So yeah. We're making picks, I guess.
Yeah, let's pick
as was being said. All right, UFC is back in the fucking warehouse. With a form, I can't believe this one's in front of no people. Like, she's like, there's like, I don't know how many female draws they have. I don't know how many draws they have, period. Let me be clear about that. Okay. Rose is one of them, though. Okay. I'm not even limiting this to male or female. The number of draws, you know, with a real fan base, Rose is one of them. And this is in front of 12 fucking people at the Apex.
People would pay, like, if Rose was on a card, they would pay money because Rose is on the card.
If this was here in the Bay, right? Okay, this card. This exact bullshit card. They put it in the fucking, like, Oakland. Okay, they wouldn't sell 12 tickets in the Oakland arena. That's not big. And whatever. Let's say they put it in an arena and sit here. I got $50 just for Rose. Maybe $100 just to see Rose fight live. Got another 20 on top of that for Amanda Ribas at least.
Let me put it this way for you, Bobby. If, let's say, Rose was, like, let's say the third fight or the co-main on a card, right? So, obviously, not just her. I'm not going to go crazy here and just say if she's the only, like,
she's your female, on a card. She's your favorite female fighter, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, actually.
I think she is, right? Yeah.
But Rose, if she was in Uncasville, Connecticut, I might consider actually going to Uncasville. If, you know, it was a Saturday night and it's like, ooh, I could get tickets for pretty, you know, not bad. You know, like, screw it. I'll go watch Rose.
I mean, Mike, they're in Atlantic City next weekend. If this fight was in Atlantic City on that card with Blanchfield and Fioro at the main event, this one's just on the undercard. You're going.
Yeah,
you're going. That's what's happening. Like, you're going. That's a real card, by the way, people. If you're in New Jersey, I would go to that one. That's going to be fun. Yeah, so Rose Namajunas taking on Amanda Ribas. Only one of these people who are main eventing a card on ESPN. I don't know if it's on ESPN. A main eventing a card by a company who says they are a top four major sport. Yet again, they said that, Mike. Said that yet again, like a week and a half ago. But only one of these two fighters has to supplement their income with an OnlyFans account, which I guess is better than two, right? It's better than two. So we'll go with that. Amanda Ribas, one of everybody's favorite fighters, quite frankly. Woman who we thought is going to make it to the title shot a few times, has faltered a couple times here, trading wins and losses. Pretty much since she lost that Marina Rodriguez fight. You remember that one, Mike? That was the one where we're like, she wins this one. It's like five straight. Let's go.
Yeah, she was on a roll back then.
Lost that fight, then beat Jandaroba, lost to Caitlin Chukagian, beat Arujo, lost to Macy Barber, beat Luana Pinheiro. She's coming to this one as an underdog. Almost 2-1. I think Rose is coming in around minus 205-ish, I think I last saw, if I'm not mistaken. Rose last fought against Manon Fiorot at 125. Is this a 125 again? This is, right?
Yes.
No, I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure. I think Rose was staying at 125, wasn't she?
What's her name's fight was just at 115.
This is at flyweight.
Okay, cool. Fuck it. There's no fans. Why kill yourself making weight? Rose has lost two straight. Lost one of the worst fights any of us have ever seen against Carla Esparza. And then lost to just a tank of a woman in Manon Fiorot back in September, where Rose, I believe, broke her hand or broke some fingers, I remember. Some shit was going on with her hand in that one. Yep. I don't know if I don't remember if she lost all three rounds. I think she lost 2-1. I think it was 2-1 she lost that one. Went all the way to France to fight a French woman. They're putting Rose in some rough situations. Just putting that out there. Get the impression she might be getting punished for how bad that Carla fight was. Betting odds for this one, as I mentioned, she's about a 2-1 favorite. Mark's got Rose. I got Rose. You got Rose?
Yeah, I have Rose as well. Amanda Ribas is a good fighter. And Rose hasn't quite displayed her normal skill in her last two fights. The Carla fight, I have no idea what the hell happened there. And you can at least say that in the Manon Fiorot fight, she had extenuating circumstances in regards to her injury. All of that being said, we should probably see a return to form for Rose. Rose, when she's been on her game, has been one of the top five fighters in that division. So I think this should be quick work for Rose in regards to Amanda.
I don't think she's getting finished. I mean, I don't know. She got knocked out by Macy Barber, I guess. But Amanda's a good fighter. She's just not, I don't know. If this is a flyweight fight, Rose is going to lose. I think it would be to a bigger one. Like, you know, Fioro size. Amanda also, as I said, win one, lose one. She won the last one. She's going to lose this one. 30 years old, though, man. If she gets a win here, though, let's fucking go. Also,
yeah, she would have a big name on her scalp at that point.
Yeah, shoehorn in there into some sort of fight in Brazil in 6 weeks, though. You know, she's popular. People like her. So, good for her. The rest of this card is crap. It's real bad. Justin Taffa, who just fought. Right? He fought his brother. Fought in spite of his brother.
Yep.
On, like, no notice and got... Oh, wait, no, this is not him.
Is it not?
Is it? 1 second. I don't know what the fuck happened. Wait, no. Junior replaced him, and now he's replacing Junior.
Ah.
This is fucking weird. Okay. They hadn't lost a fight since 2021. And he's taking on... I don't know who Carl Williams is. Edmund Shabazian. Remember, we thought that was going to be a guy. Fighting a guy with no Wikipedia page. It's Cameron Saman fighting a guy with no Wikipedia page. Billy Quarantillo against Yusef Zalai. Okay. Yeah, it's not good.
Damn, what happened to you, Edmund?
He's still very young. Like, very, very young. He's 26. Like, you know.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
He's lost 4 or 5. They'll cut him and go to PFL after this. Curtain jerking, Muhammad Usman. Who I thought he won his
last... Wasn't he the Ultimate Fighter winner? Like,
I don't know if he won it, but he's 34 and he's Kamaru's brother.
That is Kamaru's brother, right? Yeah, he won it.
I thought he just won a fight too, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, he's 11 and 2.
He's won
he does not have a Wikipedia.
He's won 5 fucking fights in a row.
And he's curtain jerking. This isn't UFC 300 or something. Like,
it was supposed to be him versus Chris Barnett, our boy Chris Barnett, the Huggy Bear, which sounded like a good time, actually. But I guess that fight got canceled. So he said he's fighting Mick Parkin. I don't know. Has he got shit to do? Does he have tickets to a show? He's trying to get out of this fight early? Be done early?
Maybe.
He's trying to catch the U2 at the Sphere? Is that what's happening with Muhammad Usman? Anyway, yeah, this is not good. Bellator card is this week, though. They're going to crown themselves a light heavyweight champion, which was vacated because our boy Vadim Nemkov decided to move up to heavyweight. You know, did the reasonable thing of giving up the belt, by the way. I have more respect for Vadim Nemkov than I ever did before, Mike, because if you want to move up in weight, go for it. Drop the fucking belt. Just saying. Corey Anderson taking on Carl Moore. Carl Moore, in fact, Irish. This card in Ireland. Carl Moore specifically from Belfast. This card in Belfast. These people are going to be so disappointed when Corey Anderson just tries to lay on top of this guy, aren't they?
It'll be a more tragic thing to happen in Ireland since the potato famine.
And this card's easily better than the UFC card. It's got Patricio Pitbull, the good one, taking on Jeremy Kennedy. It's got Fabian Edwards coming off of his title loss, taking on Aaron Jeffrey. It's another decent fight right there. Fabian's not bad. He's Leon's brother. Johnny Eblen kind of fucked him up a little bit, but Johnny Eblen's a good fighter. James Gallagher, Leandro Higo. All right, all these fights are better than any fight in the UFC card except for the main event. Just straight up. Every one of them. I don't know what this is airing on. Maybe they're going to announce that.
It'll be like a surprise, like, hey, this is our new partner. It's everyone on go to this channel.
22nd is Friday?
Yes.
Main card at 3 p.m. your time? You work from home, man. Right. Turn that shit on. If you have whatever channel they give you for this thing. Yeah, and we got the UFC 300 bout order that was announced. The idea that Cody Gumbridge and Brundage and Bo Nickel are on the main card over... over the following fights. You tell me when it's okay that they're over this fight, whichever fight I mentioned, okay?
All right.
To be clear, this is the card right now. Main event, Pereira versus Hill. Co-main event, Whaley versus Jonan. And then Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway BMF title. Then Charles Oliveira, Armin Tsarukyan. Fifth fight, opening the main card, Cody Brundage, who nobody knows who he is. He's taking on Bo Nickel, latest sacrifice. Here are your prelims. Jiří Prochazka versus Alexander Rakic.
No.
Calvin Kattar versus Aljamain Sterling.
No.
Kayla Harrison, which was the thing Dana White had up his sleeve, to be clear, his big announcement, take it on Holly Holm.
No. No.
Money Moicano versus Jalen Turner.
Moicano's not getting his money if he's not even on the main card.
Jessica Andrade versus Marina Rodriguez. Maybe.
Yeah.
Diego Lopez, Sadiq Youssef.
I'd put Bo Nickel.
Oh, I missed Diego Lopez and Sadiq Youssef. That's going to be a fucking banger. No one's waiting. Someone's going to
there. I would put Bo Nickel above. Just better name value.
Then Andrade and Marina?
And the Sadiq Youssef fight.
Okay. Bobby Green, Jim Miller, Davidson Figueiredo versus Cody Garbrandt. What name? Who the fuck is he? Just because they announced this guy's going to be something, he hasn't been nothing yet.
But that's the key thing, Bobby. They've announced he's going to be something. So I'm thinking of it from that mindset.
All the prelims, are on ESPN. More people are going to see that than the pay-per-view, for what it's worth. Just saying. Uriah Faber said, hey, man, I would rather be on the fucking main event. If I'm not getting pay-per-view points, put me as the main event of the prelims because more people are going to see me.
There you go.
Anyway. Yeah. Let's do stuff we like.
Let's do it.
All right. I watched two movies.
Nice.
Two movies. Okay. One of them I know you've seen. We'll start with that one. Saw Barbie.
Okay.
Movie was far better than it had any right to be, given the subject matter, which is a doll. They did some good work there. I don't know what got nominated for what in terms of that movie. I'm trying to look that up as we're talking.
So, Best Supporting Actor and Actress, America Ferrera and Ryan Gosling. It won.
She got nominated for an Oscar, America Ferrera. Yeah. She had one speech in the whole fucking. Okay.
It was because of that speech. Your brother Nicky's friend, America Ferrera.
We love Oscar ugly. We love Ugly Betty in this house. Just putting that out there. Big supporters of Ugly Betty, who's very nice to my brother. Doesn't need to be. My brother's an asshole. All right. Very nice, Spidey.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Very nice of you, but I've heard stories. My girlfriend and I have started rewatching Ugly Betty, where Betty lives kind of near where I live.
I've never actually seen Ugly Queens. Betty. Never seen that.
Really?
Didn't know.
You should watch it. It's on Netflix.
Okay. Well, I don't have Netflix.
It's probably on crack as well.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, Best Picture. How you get a Best Picture nomination and not a Best Director nomination?
Because there's 10 Best Picture nominations.
Oh, yeah. That was their solution the year that we all complained, why isn't Dark Knight going to get a fucking Best Picture? And then, like, the answer was just, we're just going to nominate more shit, which is not the answer. Margot Robbie, one of the producers, though. She didn't get nominated for Best Actress, huh? Okay.
She did not.
Thought she did a really good job. Greta Gerwig at least got Best Adapted. Adapted from what?
Yeah, that was a big controversy because people are like, what's it been adapted from? And the rationale was that
the character
it was
exists?
Adapted from that the character already existed.
So let's say Transformers was going to get nominated. Same concept?
I guess.
That at least had a TV show, actually.
But one thing I don't quite understand is that, I don't know, I think adapted screenplay, I think it was a book before. It was a play before.
Yeah, I think that's what most of us think. Social Network, for example, Best Adapted Screenplay. That was one right there. It was a book. Both two songs for original song were nominated.
Yeah.
Shout out to Billie Eilish and her brother, Phineas, winning for Best Song. Even though I'm Just Ken, provided some good jokes. Michael Cera was real good. I enjoyed Michael Cera a lot in that movie. You want some more of Alan? Huh? You want some more of Alan? The little girl was good too. I was not familiar with her. Don't know who that is, but the little teenager that made me feel old though, Mike, because I'm just like, Ugly Betty got a daughter? How old is Ugly Betty? And then I was just like, wait, fuck, how old am I? And then I'm like, I guess the math adds up here. I guess the math adds up. It was cool seeing Rhea Perlman in a movie. I knew enough about Barbie that when they said her name was Ruth, like early in the movie, I was like, oh, it's the lady who made Barbie. And yeah, John Cena's randomly in it. Cool. Made me happy. John Cena will be in anything at this point. Who else? Like,
John Cena doesn't care.
No, he's cashing checks. The hair is going, so he's got to, you know, before he goes full bald on this, he's got to be in as much stuff as possible. Also, let me tell you what John Cena's doing tomorrow, buddy. John Cena celebrating Persian New Year with his Iranian wife.
All right.
John June, welcome to the family. Okay, welcome. We lost Britney Spears. We lost Britney Spears and we got John Cena, though.
John Cena, does John Cena have any kids with his wife yet?
No.
Where are we at with that?
I don't think John Cena wants kids.
Ah, man. We're being denied another Cena.
Just a yoked Persian Cena? Yeah. We're being denied. I liked the movie, though, man. It was good. I thought that they touched on some interesting things. I think the whole patriarchy thing was interesting. The way they made Ken a character that, like, had no purpose without Barbie is an interesting reversal of, you know, what you'd expect, you know, the movie commentating on, which, you know, people who complain about the movie definitely didn't recognize that part of it. But yeah, Greta Gerwig can shoot the shit out of a movie, though, man. I did not see Lady Bird, but I don't know how many, female directors are really getting a lot of love these days in general in Hollywood. Can't really think of a lot besides her and Catherine Bigelow and give me a third. What's the lady who did?
I can only think of another female director, which is Sofia Coppola, but she hasn't done anything in a while.
We're also talking pure fucking Nepo baby there. Just saying. Like fucking Francis Ford Coppola's daughter.
Chloe Zhao.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I said Bigelow. What's her name? Ava DuVernay. She did some stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now
are we just naming female directors?
There's not that many. That's literally what I was saying. Yeah. There aren't a lot of them that are well known. The lady who got fired from Wonder Woman.
Patty Jenkins.
Yeah, her. Yeah, I don't know. That might be all I got, buddy.
Yeah, I don't have many. I don't have many others myself.
That's what I'm saying. Movie was good. The other movie I saw was Star Wars Beyond. I forgot the name of the movie for a second.
You mean Star Trek Beyond?
Star Trek Beyond. Sorry. I was offended all groups of people there. Star Trek Beyond, which was the third one with these groups, this group of people, with this iteration. I think the last one we can expect, I think, to be honest.
It's been about 7-8 years since that movie came out.
Chekhov died. There's that too. That was his last movie. Rest in peace to Anton Yelchin. And fucking Chrysler paid out the ass for that one. That car rolling and crushing him. I think it was Chrysler or Chevy. One or the other was the type of car that took him out. Yeah, it was also Leonard Nimoy had just died. They made reference to it in the movie. It was good. I know people did not dig Into the Darkness a lot. I don't think I've seen Into the Darkness. Mike, have you?
Really?
I don't know. I'm a big Cumberbatch guy. I think I might have watched it and fallen asleep. At some point.
I think you did watch it because I think we talked about how the twist that he was Khan was like, you know, weak.
Or they hit the ball for no reason for like the whole press tour that he's not Khan. And we're just like, yeah, it's just fucking Khan. Just call him Khan. Let's move on with our life, Khan. I did remember from that one, I did like Spock yelled Khan rather than Kirk. I think in these movies, the guys who play these roles, I'm not the biggest Star Trek guy in the world, but I used to watch the movies as a kid, and I think all these people playing these different roles, like the main roles, are doing a great job. I think dude is excellent as Carl Urban. As Bones McCoy. Carl Urban is excellent as Bones McCoy. Dude is great as Sulu, John Cho, Kirk, and the guy playing Kirk and
Chris Pine.
Yeah, and then dude from playing Spock, both of them. The guy from Heroes, forgot his name. Excellent.
Zachary Quinto.
Excellent, man. Just excellent. I thought this Beyond movie was good. I don't know if you saw it. The bad guy.
I have not watched it, actually.
Bad guy is Captain Balthasar Edison / Krall, played by Idris Elba. So he was good. And Mike, you brought up, asked if I knew who Shora Agdashloo was the other day. She's in this movie too, actually. She's,
how about that?
Yeah, she's part of, what's it called? Starfleet?
Yep.
Starfleet, yeah. She's part of Starfleet. Thought it was good. I don't know if JJ directed it. JJ didn't direct it. Justin Lin directed it. Interesting. Are there more coming? Seriously, are there, like, when's the next Star Trek movie?
I think there's none in the pipeline. I think that this group is done, because I think it has been a few years since this movie came out, so don't think we can expect to see Chris Pine and them boys coming back for another movie. I think right now Star Trek is pretty hot with its TV or serialized dramas that I don't think there's anything in the pipeline when it comes to movies yet. But you got to assume with that IP, they'll eventually come back with another movie.
I think they're trying to do one with these people, one more with these guys. Just me reading this long-ass Wikipedia page that has Quentin Tarantino's name written in this thing randomly, which would be... I've not heard Captain Kirk call anybody the N-word before in a movie. So that would be...
It'd be something if he ripped that off.
He's just like, yo, can we get Geordi LaForge in this movie? And he's just like, it's not the same fucking like time frame. It's like, whatever, bro. Who do we got? How about the Worf? Again, not gonna work. Is he even black? Whatever. Okay. He needs somebody.
He called him the Worf.
Well, I meant the Worf as like the people. The Worf people, not like, you know.
Klingons, bro.
Aren't they Worf? Is Worf the name?
No, the character's name is Worf.
Oh, my bad.
He's a Klingon.
What was the name of the dude who had the big fucking ears in the newer ones?
He was a Ferengi.
Yeah.
Called, Quark.
Yeah. My boy Sam used to play him at Universal Studios.
Really?
Would not drop character. We were fucking with him so much. Shout out, Sam. You might know Sam from that ESPN video of Jimmy Butler eating shit in a canoe. That was my guy Sam getting out of said canoe, making Jimmy eat shit in there. That's what I watched. I watched both of those, and then I watched the most recent episode of Invincible came out.
Ooh.
The second half of the season came out. And I'm not enjoying this season as much as the first one, Mike, if I'm being honest with you. I'm not sure where you are with this show, or I've watched it all. I don't remember.
Is it because they split up an 8-episode season into two halves?
No, it's because you're watching this thing.
Yeah.
Did you watch the most recent episode?
I haven't yet.
Okay.
No.
Doesn't really matter. There's too much going on. Like, there's just too many different shit they're cutting to at all times. And I need some of this to converge. Sooner rather. I get what the end game is. It's all going to come together at some point, right? It's all going to come together. Also, the best part of that show is Alan the Alien. Just easily. The whole show should have been about Alan the Alien. That's Seth Rogen's character. The guy who's, you know, skipping planets and stuff like that. Best character of that show. Love him. Him followed by the dirtbag Jason Mantzoukas is playing. That guy is good, too.
Fuck, I forget what his name is.
I don't know. I keep on calling him Rafi, and it's not Rafi. Okay? He's not... He has not been Rafi in a while. Yeah. I watched that, too, but it was okay. I kind of wanted... I think I might let a couple episodes build. Is it only going to be 8, honestly?
I think I remember reading it's only 8 episodes.
They could have just put all 4 out at the same time. I don't know what we're doing. It's the whole point of the streaming thing, man. Put that shit out. You know? Yeah. But Star Trek, thumbs up. Star Trek 3, I guess you'd call it. Beyond, thumbs up. Barbie, thumbs up. I was going to watch Dune. Instead, I watched Barbie. This is original Dune. Or whatever, not original.
Oof, original
Dune. Not original. The one from a few years ago, I mean. The one from a couple years ago.
Oh, gotcha.
Because my brother randomly told me, and this is for people who should know this, if you have YouTube TV and you buy Max through YouTube TV, you buy a Max subscription, if you go on YouTube, it just tells you movies you've purchased. You don't actually purchase them. You just get them because you have Max. So my brother's like, hey, did you buy Dune? And I'm like, no, why? He's like, well, you know, we have a shared family thing, account. He's like, I went on YouTube, it said Dune, purchase, so I watched it. And I'm like, oh, okay. So there you go. And there's a bunch of free movies on YouTube too, like all the Twilight movies. They're all there.
Ooh, can't wait for those.
And Mike acting like he didn't see these movies already. By the way, your Potterhead didn't drop a mandrake on us during that plant thing. I was waiting for you to say mandrake.
I was thinking mandrake root, obviously. You know, if you hear one that's immature, at most you'll get knocked out. But if you hear the cry of an adult mandrake root and you don't have proper ear protection, you might die, obviously. I thought about mandrake root. I also thought about the whomping willow.
What's that thing he took that let him swim underwater? I mean, breathe underwater? That's your
gillyweed.
Gillyweed. I like the name gillyweed. I'll be honest. You know, lady's a big old transphobe, but she made an interesting universe. I'll give her that.
She did.
Hey, man, it's like that homophobe that made Ender's Game. You know,
really?
I think it was either homophobe. I'm trying to think which.
I'm not denying it, but
Scott, know. Whatever.
It's crazy.
Scott Card, is that his name?
No idea.
I don't remember. Anyway, what do you got this week?
A quick thing for me this week. It was a old movie that my girlfriend and I caught yesterday, right when it was starting on one of the premium cable channels. We watched Aaron Brockovich, the movie from 2000 that won Julia Roberts her Oscar.
They're called Tits, Ed.
That's right.
Yeah.
For those of you that haven't watched the movie or don't remember what it's about Julia Roberts playing this real woman, Erin Brockovich, who in the early 90s was working as, I think, a legal aide at some office where they took on Pacific Gas and Electric because they were generally being evil corporate overlords. And
that has changed a lot. We all love PG&E in the state of California. I'm not at all being said sarcastically.
That is so not true.
When they let a fucking town burn to the ground 2 years ago.
One of the things I told Jacqueline while we were watching the movie was, I think I remember Bobby specifically telling me, yeah, PG&E is still pretty bad.
100%. Again, they let a whole city doesn't exist anymore because it was called Paradise. It's gone. It is straight
Paradise,
up gone.
So Paradise Lost?
Dude, there was a lot of those headlines. Okay. Just letting you know.
Just writes itself. Yeah. But you know, watched it again and it was very enjoyable watching it again. It was a good watch. So there's a reason why she won the Oscar for that movie. So, you know, you have a little time, you should watch Aaron Brockovich again.
Yeah, it talks about how PG&E poisoning a bunch of people was that Texas?
No, it was in California.
Okay.
Some town called Hinckley.
Sounds like it'd be north. The part of California you would actually refer to as Northern California, which, you know, no one actually lives there. Hinckley, California is... Oh, never mind. Southern California. I apologize. Over in San Bernardino County, middle of the fucking Mojave Desert. It's a good movie. Aaron Eckhart's in there, too, as George, her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Which, don't know that lasted. It's all said and done, to be honest.
It did not. They got divorced in 2012.
Yeah. Hey, man. Had a good run. You know, live in love. But yeah, she fucking killed it. I think that was when she won her only Oscar.
I believe so.
Yeah, she'd been nominated before. Really good movie. Was it 2000, I think?
2000.
Yeah. The Boss was good too. The aforementioned Ed was good there. Okay, we are going to be back next week on this podcast. We believe we're going to have DJ Mark with us. We'll see about that though. The card next week, actually worth your time. I was saying Mike should go to this, but I don't think Mike wants to drive all the way to Atlantic City, to be honest. And the price better be real cheap if Mike was going to drive. What is it, 4 hours? How far is AC?
It's about probably three and a half hours if you're not hitting traffic.
So four.
Yeah.
Okay. Pretty good fucking card. Aaron Blanchfield. The two drivers of the Aaron Blanchfield hype train right here. Pretty excited for this one. Taking on Manon Fiorot, which we'd say is a number one contender fight, but it is March, and the women who are fighting for the championship are not going to fight until September. So, yeah, good planning. Bruno Silva versus Chris Weidman. Chris Weidman running it back. Going to try to get a W here, Mike. Joaquin Buckley versus Vicente Luque is going to be violent. That is,
oh, yeah.
It feels like someone's going to get brain damage in that one. Lupe Gudinez versus Verna Jandaroba. Four fights, four good fights so far, man. Not super familiar with Cedriques Dumas versus Ruzi Boa or some of these other ones, but hey, man, you got Chidi Endrikwani almost curtain jerking. So there's some people on this one. There's some people. They're in the Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Boardwalk Hall, the amount of people it holds is up to 10,000. The UFC's fucking printing money these days, Mike. I bet they fucking set this thing up for about 8,000-9,000 seats, and they probably sell the whole thing out.
Probably.
Yeah. And that's a good main event. I hope people go, because isn't Blanchfield from New Jersey?
She is.
Yeah, because we watched her just decimate Molly Meatball in New York, and people were not rooting for her, while me and Mike were sitting there laughing, realizing these people did not know what was about to happen to this young lady. What was about to happen to her? Just fucking buzzsawed her. Aaron Blanchfield is from Elmwood Park, New Jersey, in Bergen County. So, not sure if that helps.
Bergen County is pretty, is a county that's pretty close, I think, to where New York City is.
She's looks like southwestish New Jersey. Began training jiu-jitsu at age 7. Yeah, this girl's a terror. She's a terror. Okay, be back next week, hopefully with DJ Mark. Preview this card if UFC Atlantic City. And the week after that, I think, is... No, we're back at the fucking warehouse. Never mind. And then the week after that is UFC 300. Where we're going to pick the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, that's going to be a long podcast.
That's going to be just, I don't know how much, in fairness, I'm not sure how much analysis you're going to give to, you know, Jalen Turner. I mean, Moicano versus Turner, Mike, who are you picking? Moicano, why?
Yo, money, Moicano. Yo,
Moicano wants money.
That's right.
Moicano wants money. Bobby Green, Jim Miller. Yeah, this is a lot. There's a lot happening here. The fastest one we're going to pick is going to be Bo Nickel and Cody Brundage. You can just write it down now. We're all picking fucking Bo Nickel. That's it. By the way, where are we in the standings? How are we doing? After we all went 0-1 last week.
when it comes to the standings, the actual places haven't changed, but we each picked up a loss. So I am still in first at 17-8. You and Mark are at 15-10, and Chalk is 14-11.
Yeah, Mike, how much money do I bet on Max Holloway, who's at plus 205 against Justin Gaethje? Because that feels like almost insulting at a certain point here. Okay? Feels almost insulting. The man can't beat Alex Volkanovski. We're assuming he's a bum. What's happening here? By the way, Bo Nickel, my team, minus 1,800.
Minus 8? Damn.
Yo. Moicano,
by the way. I'd throw 10 bucks on that.
Moicano's coming in at plus 200 right now.
Oof,
I've already made a bet on Aljamain Sterling over Calvin Kattar because I think Aljo's capable at minus 130 of just blanketing or going human backpack on Calvin Kattar. Just seems like something he could handle. Just my two cents.
I feel I'm going to have to make some bets on UFC 300.
I'm already in for 100 bucks on Poatan. Okay, because he's like minus one. I do not understand. Unless Jamal Hill is just going to like take him down at will. I think he's going to get kicked in his leg, and it's going to go very badly, to be honest. I think it's not... I don't know how this man's going to fight 9 months after blowing his Achilles. I don't understand. I don't care what he's taking. I think that shit's going to snap like a twig. Anyway, we've dragged this out for an hour and 10 minutes. That was not my intention, but it kind of was. I'll be back next week with Mike. Hopefully Mark's with us. Hope you enjoy this week. Fucking warehouse fights. Don't watch it. Tune in for the main event. Maybe watch Bellator on Friday, to be honest. And if you have whatever streaming platform they announce this thing is on, Fingers crossed it's not whatever the hell kick.com is, because I got to figure out what that is. YouTube, guys. Let's just do YouTube. Everybody should just be on YouTube for everything. Just my two cents. Anyway, I was Dr. Law. That was Lavender Gooms. Peace out.
See ya. By the way, have you watched Shogun yet?
No. Kid Presentable was telling me that he's into it, really. Did you mention that you were going to try to watch it, or did you watch it?
Oh, I've been watching it. It's great. I should have mentioned that as my stuff.
I think it was your stuff you liked 2 weeks ago.
Ooh, my mind is going if I don't remember that.
I thought you did. And I know because I also brought up the fact that apparently it was made, the show came out once before in like 1980. Because Steph mentioned that it was his mother's like favorite show back in the day. It's good?
Wow. It's really good.
FX?
Yeah, FX. Okay. Or on Hulu.
Or other places. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Peace.
See you.